we burn.
Why?
All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
On the third.
Heavy laden, cumbered with a load of death. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a soul lost there.
Glory to God. Please be seated, people. I love that last stanza. It says, do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. I work nights, as you know, at GE. I start at midnight. And a lot of these guys, you know, they know that I'm a preacher and I just don't fit in with them. But you know what? The Lord, look at this, in his arms, he takes and shields me. And I find a solace there. Amen. You know, when you don't fit in with the world, that's normal. Because you're a Christian. Amen. And the Lord is with you. Glory to God. You can rejoice in that persecution and the trials we endure. We don't know persecution in America. That's part of the problem with the anemic church we have. Because we have it too good. I tell you, sometimes I say, Lord, send some persecution upon the church in America that we can wake up, amen, and get busy for God. Let's grab our Bibles this morning, beloved, and open up to the book of Jonah, the little book of Jonah, minor prophet. Jonah chapter number 4 this morning. I think we've covered all of our bases. And I heard that there's some football game later today. Don't stay home to watch that. I mean, Jesus is more important than the Patriots, right? Praise the Lord. If you have to, set your VCR or your DVR. I don't care about.
Yeah, I saw that on the news and on the internet today. They were the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We had a service of 1 minute because of the NFL game.
I saw that on Fox News. 60-second sermon. Now he said, let's all go home and watch the game.
Yeah. But that's he did invite them down for the, you know, to celebrate the Lord's Supper of themselves.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, folks, this is Laodicea.
Yeah.
Right? This is the last days, and the Lord said there'd be a great falling away just before his return. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. So we need to stay faithful in these last days and serve our Lord. Glory to God. The incredible little book of Jonah. And I want to speak to you this morning. How many of you knows that when God says something in his word, it's important? Amen? You all know that. And how many of you know that when God says something twice in his word, it's doubly important? Well, when God says something over and over and over in his word, it's really, really important. Amen? And I want to call your attention this morning to something that the Bible, like a beautiful rhythm, repeats over and over. It's kind of like in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 133. Don't I think it's 133, where he sings about the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord endured forever. The mercy of the Lord endured forever. And David just can't stop repeating that. Amen? Well, God doesn't use filler words in the Bible. Amen? And when he puts something in his word, it's there for a reason. Look with me here in Jonah chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. As Elizabeth Taylor said to her eighth husband, I won't be keeping you long. Jonah chapter number 4. And look with me at verse number 2. Jonah 4 and verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah says, I know something about you. Amen? Flip back a couple pages, you'll be in Joel. Remain standing for prayer. Just before Amos, you'll come to the little book of Joel. This is four different witnesses saying the same thing. Look with me here in Joel chapter number 2, verse number 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart. That's what he wants. And with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God. Why, Joel? For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Go with me to Psalm 103. Flip back from Joel to the book of Psalms and Psalm 103. We're building a case here this morning. We're seeing some incredible attributes of God. Something that he wants you to know, child of God. In Psalm 103, look with me at verse number 8. The Lord, David says, by the Holy Ghost, amen? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Oh, I love it. Almost verbatim, we have it again. Nehemiah, flip back prior to Esther, prior to Job, you'll hit the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter number 9, one of the most incredible chapters in all the Bible is Nehemiah chapter 9, where the Holy Spirit rehearses all that he had done for Israel, his Old Testament people. And look with me here in Nehemiah 9, verse 17. They refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst amongst them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Sounds like a lot of churches today. But, look at this. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Beloved, I want to speak to you on some attributes of God this morning. Father in heaven, how we thank you that these four witnesses, by thy Holy Spirit, are revealing some incredible attributes of the living God. Lord, I thank you that you are merciful, you are gracious, you are forgiving, you are kind. Lord, you're a great God and we love you this morning. We thank you for sending Jesus to reveal yourself that we might know you personally. And Father, as we come to your word this morning, I ask you to put me aside and let Jesus be exalted. Let him be glorified in our midst. And let our hearts and minds and affections be closer drawn to thee, to love you more as a result of this message. Through Jesus Christ we pray. And the people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. I want to speak to you this morning briefly on some attributes of God. Beloved, I sure am glad this morning that I can preach this message. Amen? I sure am glad this morning that our God is a good God. I sure am glad this morning that our God is wonderful. There's nobody like him in all the universe. And these precious attributes of our God should bring great peace and joy and comfort to our hearts today. Listen,
The world out there is getting worse and worse. I read online this week that these kids are killing each other for sneakers called Air Jordans Blue something. Killing each other. This one guy put his Air Jordans on Craigslist, and a guy called, only worn once, $250. They go for $240. The $250, only worn once. So the guy says, yeah, I'll get them. They're my size. He comes to his house, knocks on the door. So let me see. He puts them on. Yeah, they fit good. I'll take them. Boom! He killed the guy. And left with his Air Jordans, probably to play the knockout game, you know. It's getting crazy out there, folks. But our God is faithful. Amen? No matter how wicked and how perverse and how evil this world gets, Jesus Christ is on the throne. And his train is running on schedule. And he's coming back for us, church. I got good news this morning. I want to cheer you up. I want to encourage you because God is a wonderful God. And we can look to him no matter what is going on in the chaos all around us. Our God is a good God. Our God is love. Our God is wisdom. Our God is holiness. Our God is mercy. That's why David proclaimed in 1 Chronicles 17:20, don't turn there. He said, O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. He said, there's nobody like God. There's nobody can compare to him. The one that we serve, he's the greatest. Amen. He's the eternal champion of eternity. Isaiah said, O Lord, whom may be compared unto thee? Yea, there is none in heaven or the earth to be likened unto thee. For thou art God and thou alone. He says, you're the only true God. You're the one, Lord. Church, no other religion on planet earth has a God like we have. I don't care if they're Buddhists, Muslims, Hare Krishnas. Our God is sovereign, and our God is the greatest God that's ever been. He's wonderful. I want you to fall more in love with him today as we look at a few of his attributes. I want to speak today on some of these incredible attributes. First, I want you to notice in our text, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. First attribute is that he is a God who desires to forgive. Amen? He is a God who desires to forgive. Look at verse 17. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Woo! I don't know about you, but I like this. Our God is ready, willing, and able to pardon any sinner that comes to his son. Amen? He desires to forgive. You know, I want to make a statement to this morning, church. There's 7 billion. We crossed the 7 billion mark in world population recently. And of all the 7 billion occupants of planet Earth, the inhabitants, how few know Jesus Christ? How few are actually born again? I wonder all the time, Lord, so many people. I rub shoulders with them. I work with them. At Walmart. And they don't know you. But you know what? If all 7 billion of the Earth's population was to turn to Jesus Christ this morning, he'd save them all. He'd forgive them all because he shed his blood for them. Amen? I'm so glad that I serve a God who desires to forgive my neighbor. He desires to give him eternal life. He desires to pardon him and wash him in his blood and make him a child of God. That's the God we serve. He desires to forgive, but he can't unless one turns to him. Amen? Here's the most amazing attribute of God, that he is ready to pardon. Think about it. No matter what that person has done, no matter how low they've gone, God wants to pardon them. God wants to forgive them. God wants to raise them up and give them a life worth living. And he can. And he will. Glory to God. You can take the worst of the people in this world. The drunkard in the gutter. The heroin addict looking for a next fix. The man in bondage to pornography and sexual perversion. The adulterer, the witch, the homosexual, the child molester, the murderer, the serial killer, and all the rest of that ugly bunch. God wants to forgive them. Did you hear me this morning? I said God wants to forgive them. And if you don't understand that, you don't know the grace of God. Jesus died on that cross for all mankind. Amen? For all sins. He bore the sins of all people. Don't let the Calvinists fool you. Only the elect, you know. You notice they're always part of the elect, the Calvinists? They're always part of the elect, you know. this person can't be saved and that person can't be saved. Oh, you know what? Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, not for us only, John said in 1 John 2:2. I'm so glad he died for them all. I'm so glad that I can give a gospel tract to my neighbor and say, hey, brother, you can come to Jesus, how to be saved, and know it. Amen. You can be saved because Jesus died for you. Glory to God. What a wonderful Savior. He stands with his arms wide open and waits for the sinner to repent. Isaiah 55, hold your place in Nehemiah. Turn with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 55. Look at this verse, powerful text concerning God's desire to forgive. In Isaiah chapter 55, church, look with me in verse number 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. The prophet says, by the Holy Spirit, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's coming a day when we're going to get raptured out of this world. There's not going to be any more Christians knocking on doors. There's not going to be any more churches singing gospel hymns and preaching Jesus Christ. This world is going to be a wicked, dark place during that time period of 7 years. And he says, seek me while you can. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just a little bit of pardon, not just a little bit of forgiveness, but abundantly. He says, I'll forgive all your sins. Glory to God. He desires to forgive. Ezekiel said, for thou, Lord, hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but thou desirest, listen to the words here, thou desireth that he should turn from his ways and live. That's God's heartbeat this morning, church. Do you realize he wants to save your lost loved ones? He wants to save your lost work associates? He wants to save those folks, your neighbors? He wants to save them all. I'll never forget as long as I live. The year was 1988. I was working for Didi Diaper Service. It took me 9 years to get through Bible College in Rochester, New York. But I made it, you know, because I was working full-time days. I was the diaper man. And at night, I was full-time college. And then in between, I'm full-time husband and full-time father of our four kids. So I had my plate full. But you know what? We had to gas up the trucks at Tony's service station every day. Get through with your route, and we put about 400 miles on it every day. It was unbelievable. Cover over 100 residents. And yes, I would take the beautiful, white, fluffy, clean cotton diapers and pick up the stinky, poopy, dirty ones, you know. But I did it for Jesus, amen? So, but I'll never forget the first day I came home. It was 1988. I had just started Bible college, and I had just started my job at the Didi Diaper Service. And all the time we lived in New York, going to Bible college and going on deputation for the mission field, I worked there. It was my tent making, you know. And I came home from work the first day, and I said, honey, I'm not going back. She said, you're going back. I said, honey, I'm not going back. I can't take that stench, honey. It's unbelievable. She says, hey, Buster, you change diapers? You change our kids' diapers? Well, yeah, but you're going back. I went back. But my point is this. We'd have to gas up the trucks, right, every day at Tony's service day. Tony was a reprobate, wicked, ungodly man. He'd come out just cussing because he knew I was there. Call me the bishop. Here comes the bishop. Oh, he's getting ready to be a preacher, you know. And he hated me because I was a Christian. And I tried witnessing to him. And one day Tony comes out there, I'm gassing up my truck, trying to mind my own business. And he comes out there, hey, bishop, where's your God today? And I saw he's right here with me, Tony. And he says, oh, yeah? This is God's honest. He says, well, if your God's right here, he shoots fists up to God. He said, I dare him to strike me dead. Ooh. Prove he's real. This guy's about 55 years old, you know? And he said, I dare. He screamed it. I dare you, God. Kill me right now if you're real. And he laughed and he walked back into the office. And afterwards, I had to go in to sign my receipt for the gas. And I went in and I said, he said, hey, God didn't kill me yet, brother. And I said, Tony, that's because God doesn't want to kill you. He wants to forgive you. Not a word. Folks, that's the God's honest truth right there. That Jesus Christ desires to forgive the unrepentant. He died for Tony, but Tony wouldn't accept him. therefore he couldn't forgive him. Oh, what a blessed God we serve. First attribute, he desires to forgive. But secondly, this morning, he is a God who is gracious. Amen? Look with me back in our text in verse 17. But thou art a God ready to pardon. What's the next word? Gracious. Gracious. He's gracious, church. What's that mean? Gracious. He's a gracious God. Listen, it means, the Hebrew word here is kanun. It literally means to bend or stoop in loving care to an inferior. That's what it means. Listen, to favor or bestow generosity to a friend. Oh, I'm so glad he favors you and me. I'm so glad he's generous to you and me. I'm so glad he bends down, he stoops down in loving care to me and to you. Listen now, Noah Webster says, to be gracious is to be favorable to one in need. Anybody listening? To be favorable to one in need. And that is expressing kindness and favor to one who is undeserving. That's what Noah Webster said. That's what gracious means. The root word of gracious, grace. Grace. Amen. Grace is when you get something good, when you deserve something bad. 1 Peter 2:3 says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted, church, and seen how gracious he is? How wonderful he is? How gracious and glorious he is to you? Look at verse 31, Nehemiah 9. Look at verse 31. Nevertheless, he says in verse 30, many years didst thou forbear them, the Israelites in the wilderness, remember? And testifiedst against them by thy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, look at verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. Why, Nehemiah? For thou art a gracious and merciful God.
This is incredible to me. I'm so glad I'm not God. Because God is so patient. You get road rage. They cut you off. I mean, they just cut you off, man. And you're like, why did you do that? You dummy, and you know, inside you're saying things you shouldn't say. You know what? God's not that way. God is gracious. God doesn't cut them off,
God, look at that, verse 31. Nor forsook them, nor consume them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Oh, church, I'm so glad today that he's gracious and merciful. Holocaust survivor, Martin Niemöller. He was at Auschwitz. Listen. He emerged from the concentration camp at Auschwitz after 3 years of captivity. In Hitler's concentration camp, he made this amazing statement, and I quote, Martin Niemöller said, "It took me this a long time, a long, long time, to learn that God is not the enemy of his enemies." Amen. Church, I'm so glad this morning that God is not the enemy of his enemies. He wants to be gracious to them. He wants to be merciful to them. He wants to forgive them if they'll only come to his son. Amen? Glory to God. He learned that by being tortured in the concentration camp. He's gracious. He desires to be their friend, but he will not force them. Thirdly, something else this morning, attribute of God, quickly. He is a God who is merciful. Look at that, Nehemiah 9:17. He says, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Merciful. Oh, I love it. We just read it in verse 31. Thou art gracious and merciful. Anybody here not need God's mercy? No, I didn't think so. No hands are up. Why? Because we need God's mercy, don't we? Every day we need God's mercy. Listen, a wrong thought is a sin. A misspoken word, you mistreat somebody, you get angry on the road rage, right? That's a sin. You know what we need? Mercy. Mercy. Not for salvation, we're already saved. For fellowship. If we want to stay in communion and fellowship with our Lord, we need mercy. We need pardon. Amen? Instead of chastisement, which is what you'll get if you don't confess that. Merciful. He's merciful. Not only is he merciful by his nature, but he enjoys bestowing his mercy when and where he can. Did you hear what I said? He enjoys bestowing mercy, unlike me. You know, trying to get even, you know. That's the flesh. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more merciful. Here is the most glorious attribute of God, that He is a merciful God. Go to Micah. Go with me to Micah and hold your place in Nehemiah again. The minor prophet Micah. Just before Nahum and just after Jonah. Micah. You say, if I could find those, brother, I'd be all set. Micah chapter 7. Look with me here. Micah chapter 7. Here's how God is, and here's how He wants us to be. Verse 18. Micah 7, 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. Did you see it? He didn't just say, God, he bends to bestow mercy. You know, He forces Himself to bestow mercy. No! He delights in mercy. You know what that means? Two things. It means God delights in being merciful to the sinner. And God delights when you and I are merciful to those who wrong us. You know what we need to do? We need to be like God. Amen? In this attribute of God, we need to extend mercy to those who offend us because of the mercy that we've received. Oh, folks, I'm so glad He's a merciful God. He delights in bestowing mercy. Over 135 years ago, when you all know I'm a historian, when General Lee surrendered to the North, President Lincoln, my favorite president of all time, as you know, President Lincoln spoke to a large crowd. He was a man of God. Amen. He'd put his hand on the Bible and mean it in the White House. He spoke to a large crowd in Washington from the balcony of the White House and told them about his plan to reunify the Republic. Just then, Senator Harlan shouted, "But what should we do with these rebels from the South?" They had hundreds of POWs they had captured alive. The angry crowd shouted, "Hang them all!" Just then, little Tad Lincoln, Abraham's son, Tad was something. Little Tad turned to his father and said, "No, no, Papa, don't hang them. Hang on to them." 5 years old. 5 years old. He said, "Papa, hang on to them." "That's it," exclaimed the president. "Tad's right. We must show them mercy, not vengeance." Full pardon for all of them. Amen. Go home to your family, boys. Go home to your wives. Go home to your children. Mercy, not vengeance. Lincoln loved to show mercy. But how much more does our God, who is merciful? Something else I see quickly. Another attribute of God. He is a God who is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. Look at this, verse 17 of Nehemiah 9. It says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger." Ooh. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, church, this morning. It's a good thing He's this. Because there'd be none of us alive breathing right now. He is slow to anger. But what's that mean, church? Listen, how is God slow to anger? I want to suggest a few ways. Three. First, God is slow to anger when the lost refuse His offer of salvation. Amen? You know, you try to witness to somebody like Tony, and Tony just blasphemes. Your God's not even alive. He can't kill me. Blasphemy. But you know what? Instead of getting angry at Tony, I told him, Lord doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. You know why? We need to be slow to anger. Why? Because God is slow to anger when the lost refuse His offer of salvation. Listen, 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Did you see that? God is slow to anger with the lost. And we need to be too. Folks, listen to me. You don't know who's going to get saved. I marvel sometimes. I say, I'll meet people and I'll say to my wife, "Honey, that, you know, in private, honey, that guy, man, that guy never gets saved. He gets, you know, 3 months later, he's saved and he's on fire for God, you know." Because we don't know. God wants to save them all, and He's slow to anger when they refuse His Son. Secondly, God is slow to anger when His own children do not obey Him. Amen? God is slow to... How do I know that? Because we're living in the age of Laodicea. We're living in the lukewarm, putrefied, carnal, backslidden church age, if you haven't noticed. We've got seats available here, if you haven't noticed. Why? Because they want to have their ears tickled by Osteen, you know, and these guys that they just want to hear, tell them what to never preach against sin, you know. He is slow to anger when his own children refuse to obey him. Can you imagine how God must feel looking upon this church age and looking at, we got a lot of Christians today. We got a lot of people that are saved. But how many disciples do we have?
That's right.
There's a difference. They're not spelt the same, as Ruffin says. They're spelt different. Thirdly, he is slow to anger when his name is blasphemed. Amen? Listen carefully. You got your seatbelt buckled? You're going to need it here. Do you realize that in America, the Church of Satan boasts a membership of over 2 million members and is the fastest growing church in America? Listen to me. The Satanic Bible now outsells the Holy Bible, King James Version, 10 to 1 on America's college campuses. That satanic thing that Anton LaVey wrote back in 1969, the college kids want that, the devil's Bible, instead of the Holy Bible. Folks, I'm telling you that he is slow to anger when his name is blasphemed. If I was God, I think I'd just wipe them all out, you know? But God isn't that way. I'm so glad that he's gracious, merciful, slow to anger. But let me tell you something, folks. He's got a breaking point. And when the rapture hits, and the Antichrist comes on the scene, and the tribulation period begins, all hell's going to break loose. The wrath of God is going to fall on this planet. We're talking about it on Sunday nights in great graphic detail. And it's not going to be pretty. This world has no idea. The name, that holy name they blaspheme, the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:3 says they're mockers in the last days. We're seeing it. They have no idea what's coming. It's not going to be good. But folks, listen carefully. John and Charles Wesley were blessed with a godly and patient mother. Once her husband, Charles, said, "I marvel at your peace and calm, my dear. You've told that child 19 times to clean his room, and he's still not listening." Susanna Wesley looked at him and said, "Dear, I've learned from the Lord to always be slow to anger. But if he doesn't do it this time, you're going to tan his hide." She was slow to anger, but she had a breaking point, you know. All right, we've seen that God is ready to forgive. We've seen that he's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. But I got one last one for you, and I think I like this most of all. God is a God who is eternally kind. He's eternally kind. Nehemiah 9:17 we read, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." He's not just a little bit kind, amen? He's of great kindness to you and I. Oh, I'm so glad that God, you know, the devil's mean and cruel and evil and wicked, but God is not that way. He's kind. He's wonderful. He's exceeding magnifical, Solomon said. I like that. Exceeding magnifical. Oh, man. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God, and he's kind. Nehemiah saved the best for last, folks. God is not only slow to anger, but he is of a great kindness. Now, this is no ordinary kindness, church. Nehemiah refers to, this is a divine and uncomparable kindness. The Hebrew word used for kindness in verse 17 is chesed. It means a holy kindness. Let me make a statement. All of God's attributes, we're just scratching the surface today, folks. Just his attributes, oh. I read a book 5 times by Stephen Charnock, All the Attributes of God. It's 1,100 something pages. I read it 5 times. I couldn't put it down. Why? Because he talks about all the incredible attributes of how wonderful our God is. Amen? But listen to me. God is kind. This is one of his attributes. And this attribute, it's incomparable. It's a great kindness. No one else in the world knows what you're going through. But God does. Amen? And he's kind to you in the midst of that trial. He's kind in bestowing grace that we need to get through that situation. He's kind in bestowing mercy. He's kind in bestowing strength by his Holy Spirit. He's kind in bestowing mercy and forgiveness when we need it. David said, Lord, thou art the lifter up of mine head. The lifter up of mine head. You know what that makes me think? That makes me think of when you're down in the dumps and you're just, nobody understands, you know, and you're feeling like you're getting depressed, and the Lord just reaches down his loving hand. You ever have somebody do that to you? And they just pick up your head and, I love you. I love you. That's God. He's kind, amen? He's wonderful. Jonah chapter 4, let's finish up. Back to where we began in Jonah chapter 4. Glory to God. This is no ordinary kindness, folks. All of God's attributes are surrounded and centered upon his supreme attribute, which is holiness. Hear what I said? All of his attributes hinge upon his supreme attribute of holiness. What's that mean? It means that God is kind to you with a holy kindness. Amen? He's not seeking an ulterior motive for blessing you. He's kind with a holy kindness. It's a kindness with beauty, Chanuk said. It's a kindness with favor. It's a kindness with love. I love that. In Jonah chapter 4, look at verse 2 again. He says, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You know that he loves to repent of the evil. That is the judgment that he seeks to inflict upon the unrepentant. He loves to turn from that. He delights in mercy. Oh, glory to God. In closing, let me give you this. These are some attributes of God. Tradition tells us that the Apostle Paul was once encountered by a man, probably at Athens, who showed him his idol of brass and said, here is my God. Where is thine? The Apostle looked at the idol and said, sir, I cannot show you my God, not because he is not here, but because you do not have eyes to see him. Amen. You know what happens the longer you're saved, the longer you know Jesus? The more you get to know him. And the more you get to know him, the more you begin to understand how wonderful this God is. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's gracious. This is the God we serve, beloved. Most people sadly do not see or understand or even consider these divine attributes of God. But you do. And I do. You know what that means, folks? Listen to me in closing. It means that we are accountable. We are responsible to him because we know what kind of a God he is. Folks, listen to me. There is no greater thing that you can do in life than the will of God. You know, there is no one more worthy of your heart and your affection and your life. I'm so glad we don't play church here, amen? I'm so glad we know Jesus and we love him and we desire, though we don't always, we desire to always put a smile on his face. Amen? That one day we might hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Glory to God. These are attributes of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for Nehemiah 9:17, Jonah 4:2, Joel 2:12, and Psalms 103, verse 8. How we thank you, Lord, that these four passages of Scripture say the same thing. Over and over and over. Why? Because, Lord, you want us to know what you're like. You want us to know you intimately. And, Lord, we're so thankful today that you have preserved your holy word in this book right here. You have kept the word of God for us that we might know you. And you have given us your Holy Spirit, our interpreter, our comforter, our guide, our strength. We love you today, Lord, and we thank you for your attributes. Lord, there's so many more attributes of you that we could preach about, that we could dwell on, that we could meditate upon, that we could speak of all the day long. Why? Because you're so wonderful. You're so great. There's nothing in the universe like you, Lord. That's what Isaiah said. None like our God. And Lord, help us to fall more in love with you today. Help this message not be in vain. But let us take and apply it to our hearts that we may draw closer to thee. And Lord, that we may be doers of thy will and not hearers only in these last days, O God. Lord, we don't know if we have tomorrow. We know the trumpet's about to blow. The Middle East war is about to explode. Lord, the Antichrist is about to come on the scene. The rapture is about to hit. Lord, you're about to come down and carry us up yonder. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is exciting. Lord, we're living in the most exciting time in the history of this world because Jesus is fixing to come back. We thank you, Lord, that we were born for such a time as this. And Lord, we thank you that you have a divine plan and purpose for each of our lives. Lord, we're not here in church this morning by accident. We're here because we're seeking your face and you're revealing your will. And you're going to be glorified through this church. Father, we pray that you will continue to bring more families, bring more couples, bring more children. Lord, bring them in that your house might be full, that we might serve you in greater capacity. Oh Lord, not for our sake, but that thou mayest be glorified in greater ways in this place. Lord, that the singing may be even louder and louder, that Jesus may be exalted on that pedestal where he belongs more and more in these last days. Until you come, Lord, bless this church and bless these precious sheep of your pasture. What a privilege, Lord, to minister to them, to be their pastor. Lord, thank you today. Thank you for that graciousness, that favor. Lord, you're so kind. You're so good. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. People, let's stand. And before we have a little fellowship in the kitchen, grab your hymnals again. I want to sing one song in closing. Turn to 67, hymn 67, and we'll stand for Jesus Paid It All. You know? Glory to God. All to him I owe. Ah, oh, praise the Lord. We'll sing first, second, and fourth, if I can remember that. Thank you, Lord.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it by the snow.
Thank you, Lord. On the second.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson white as snow.
On the fourth. Thank you, Lord.
When before the throne I stand in him complete.
Think about it.
Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Cal, dismiss us in prayer and pray for the goodies we're about to consume. Sorry about that.
We thank you, Lord, once again that we've had the opportunity to gather here.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Lord, study your word, hear your word, Lord. We know, Lord, that without the kindness and the long-suffering that you've shown toward us, we wouldn't be. Many of us, myself included, have never had the inclination to turn to you immediately when we're hearing your word. It's taken some time to sink in to realize that you are a God that is there for us and with us, Lord, and you walk with us daily to help us stay in that path you put for us. We just ask, Lord, that you'll keep us studying your word, you'll keep us walking in your way, and help us, Lord, if ever we stumble, we know you're there to pick us up. I ask you, Lord, now to be with each of us, give us traveling mercy as we go from this place to our homes today, and bring us back this evening, to watch over us, to bless the food and the drink that you've provided, Lord, the nourishment of our bodies, and just stay with us, to be with us always, Lord, and keep us ever mindful that without you, we would be a totally lost
God. Mm-hmm.
And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Coffee and goodies in the kitchen.